Let's turn to page 994. It's old. Romans chapter 8 will work. Romans chapter 8. We want to read a passage of scripture there. There's a lot of things to fear today. If you're just looking for something to fear, we can look at the condition of our country and that could bring fear to us. We could look at the condition of people's lives and how that people are hooked on about everything you can get hooked on today. And we could have fear that what's bad things coming next. Well, I believe that Jesus died, rose again from the dead, and is exalted to the right hand of the Father to give us freedom from the fear. Praise the Lord. There's a good kind of fear. There's a bad kind of fear. But there is a fear of God, and that's the reverence and respect for God, is who he is, his holiness, the Creator. Amen. So let's read some scripture here. Romans chapter 8. Deal with the first four verses if we can today. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Everybody say free.
Free.
From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, the flesh here meaning the sinful nature. But those who are live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what we want. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, or not his. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just anoint your servant and your people. Help us all to receive from you that which we need. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Freedom from the enemy of fear. I'm glad that today we can proclaim and have national freedom. I'm so thankful that it's God's gift to us. And we are free to worship today, free to work, free to pursue our goals without the fear of government interrupting. And I'm not sure that that window's not going to close sometime, or there's people trying to close that window, but we want to remain open to God and pray for our nation every day, pray for our president every day, vice president, pray for continued freedom in this country. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yet, the enemy wants to come to us. He wants to bring fear in our life. His will would be for you to actually live in fear. And there are people that are fearful people. They're fear of something is going to happen, something bad is going to happen today, or somebody, some not well-meaning person has told them something bad is going to happen to you today. I kind of steer a little bit when God told me to tell you. Let me tell you something. God can speak to me as easy as he can speak to you. That's what I want to say sometimes. But God does speak. Praise the Lord. And so we are free to share our faith. We're free to proclaim Christ this morning, which we want to do. He's not an answer of many. He is the only answer there is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of many ways, the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But let's look at natural fear for just a moment. And it's not wrong to have natural fear. You ought to have some. Common sense fear, such as fear of heights. Now, I don't have fear of heights. I just have to have fear of where I have to land when I get done with the height. We need natural fear of driving above the speed limit. I didn't get any amens there, but you need that. And fear of obvious consequences, like jumping off of a cliff. There's a story of a man that fell off a cliff, and on the way down, he grabbed a tree branch and was hanging on. And he was helpless, and he was saying, "Is there anybody up there that can help me?" He had heard a voice saying, "Let go." The man turned his head and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" A long time ago now, 1996, I was in the Andes Mountains in Peru. And I was riding a bus, and they don't have the most trained drivers on the planet. And we were on the edge of this mountain going up, and there was nothing but air for several thousand feet. And the back wheel of that bus got a little too close to the edge, I thought. And I hollered out. Everybody else just laughed. They were used to those kind of drivers. So there are natural fears that are there. But, you know, for the Christian, for the believer, not the fear of death and hell. Hell is something we should fear enough to repent and make things right with God. Yes. But freedom from fear. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you and I can be free from fear as a believer, as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you ought to be fearful. But as a believer and as a Christian, God has delivered us from the fear of death and hell and judgment. Because Jesus took judgment, punishment for our sins on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He has made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we know that Christ becomes our righteousness. His perfect, pure, and sinless life becomes our righteousness when we take Him as our Savior. And so we can be free from the fear of death and hell and judgment because Jesus was judged at the cross in our place. And when we take Him as our Savior, all the judgment for every sin that you've ever committed, amen, then Jesus took the punishment for that. It's been paid for, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. In Colossians 1:13 it says, He has delivered us from the powers of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And Christ makes the believer free from the law of sin and death. If we look in our text here, we find that verse 2 it says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so Christ makes the believer free from this. And the law of sin and death basically is the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments makes everyone guilty. You may not have committed murder or adultery or bore false witness against your neighbor. You more likely have done that. Said something about somebody that wasn't true. To tell a lie basically is what bearing false witness means, telling a lie. You know, well, it wasn't a very bad lie, but a lie is a lie. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody's broke a commandment of some kind. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to blame? I'm not trying to blame anything on you. I'm just telling you, you are guilty, and so am I. I just thought that'd make you feel better. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, everyone needs God's work of redemption and forgiveness and restoration in their lives so that God can restore us and our slate will become clean. And when we put our faith in the blood of Christ, what He did on the cross, we are made clean, we're cleansed, we're purified, we're sanctified, we become children of God. Praise the Lord. And so the Ten Commandments makes everyone guilty. Verse 3, For what the law, Ten Commandments, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, the Ten Commandments were good. They expressed the righteousness of God. Amen. To honor God, the first four commandments have to do with honoring God, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The last six commandments have to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. If you were to look through the Ten Commandments there. And so, but they made everyone guilty. And that is by no means made no one free. It just showed what God's standard of righteousness was and is. And so without Christ, His perfect work and His sinless life and His work on the cross, there is no forgiveness, no redemption, no reconciliation with God. But with Christ, there is. Praise the Lord. And so now we've been declared not guilty. That's what justification means. It means to be declared not guilty. So when we come to Christ with all of our heart and lay our sins before Him and say, God, I'm no good, and I pray that You would come into my heart. I pray You'd forgive my sins. I believe what You did on the cross was for me. I believe You rose again from the dead, guaranteeing me eternal life. I believe what You did was true. And as we come to God in faith, then we don't have to worry about death and hell again. Praise the Lord. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified, declared not guilty by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're going to have be worried today. If you know Christ as your Savior, you can have peace knowing that my sins have been dealt with. I have been sanctified by the blood of Christ. He's paid for my sins. I can go free. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Amen. I don't have to fear or live in fear, because I can live in faith instead. Back to Romans 8:1. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We can feel condemned about a lot of things. People do feel condemned about some things and many things. Some people seem to sin all they want to and feel condemned about nothing. But there is therefore now, no condemnation. We can't stop there. To those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The flesh means a sinful nature. There's no condemnation. However, the fear of death and hell should be a real fear in the mind of every unbeliever, every backslidden church member, and all who've neglected their faith in God and turned back to what didn't work to start with, and that's a life of sin. And the Bible strongly warns us, Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrew, the book of Hebrews, you'll understand it better if you realize it was written to Hebrew Christians who had come to faith in Christ, but they were tempted constantly to go back to the law and the Ten Commandments as justification, because they were being persecuted for Christ. And it was just easier to go back, because the Romans accepted Judaism, but they did not accept Christianity. And so they were tempted to go back. And so the writer of Hebrews writes very strongly to them and puts some words out there and say, you can't go back away from Christ. You can't trust in Christ and then just turn right around and reject Christ and be all right. You're never all right. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Those tempted to go back to Old Testament law instead of looking to Christ for salvation, they were in danger. To neglect what God has done through Christ, it's not going to bring you peace. Amen. It's going to bring condemnation. Years ago, during the Great Awakening here in America, and it needs another one, in the 1700s, Jonathan Edwards, preacher, he was known for his sermon that was titled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I want to tell you, preaching got so strong during that Great Awakening that people could hardly take it when the preacher stood behind the pulpit. As a matter of fact, during his sermon, he said, you're like a spider hanging by one thread over an open hell, and when the fire burns that thread in two, you're going to drop into an eternal hell. That was in a Methodist church. And so, Edwards, in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he was interrupted many times before finishing his sermon by people who moaned and fell on the floor and cried out, saying, what shall I do to be saved? What an awakening they had and needed. What an awakening we need today. Amen. The church world, as well as the society in our America. Amen. However, when the message of Christ and his work on the cross is preached and is accepted, and a person is truly born again of God's Spirit, then the fear of judgment of death and hell is taken away. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's wonderful news. So you don't have to be in fear of death and hell. Once you're saved, born again, and you've made the decision to walk with Christ. Now, if you've made the decision to try to get away with everything you can think of and just sin a little bit on the side here and there, and it won't be long till you'll be back in the life of sin anyway, and you won't have any assurance from God. Because this is for people who've made a decision to walk with Christ, to stay clean and walk with God. And fear is the enemy that causes you to doubt Christ's work on the cross as a complete payment for your sins when you truly repent. And so somewhere along the line, that has got to be accepted that I'm not going to fear anymore. I'm going to believe what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. I'm going to believe it was for my sins. I'm going to believe that everything that he did was good enough for me. My friend, it can't be done any better for you or for me. What Jesus did was complete, perfect. When Jesus cried on the cross, it is finished. He was not saying just the suffering was over. He was saying the plan of redemption is complete. There is salvation through the blood of Christ. You can be free from the fear of death and hell. You can have eternal life. You can know that he's your Lord, your God, your Savior, that he indwells you by his Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. For the enemy of your soul would like to make you think that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't good enough. Let me tell you something. There is one sacrifice for sin. There is one time that God came down and gave his life for us. He's not going to come and die again for somebody else. He did it. For by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's a scripture. Praise the Lord. And so, fear is the enemy that causes you to doubt Christ's work on the cross. But, you know, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you know, Paul writes there to his son Timothy in the faith, and he says, and he writes to us too, he says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear. And you know that natural fear, yes, it comes, it's within us, yeah, but spiritual fear after you've been saved, truly born again of God's spirit, that didn't come from God. God came to relieve us from fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what he has given us is that of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. God has given us power to live above sin, power to say no, and we need to start saying no more, power to say no to sin, power to view sin as God sees it. My friend, if we could pray that we could just see the things the way God sees them, that would help us a lot. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. God has given us the power to love as he loves. That's what he wants to develop in us, a love that loves people the way he does. That's asking a whole lot. But God loved us. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. And people that are scared all the time, they're tormented that something bad is going to happen today, you know. Because fear has torment. But perfect love, God's love, casts out fear. And helps us to love the lost in spite of their condition. The love of Christ, amen. And God has given us a sound mind. Don't look at your neighbor. But God has given... Shouldn't have said that. I did, though. God has given us a spiritual mind instead. Romans 8 and 6 here says that for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. My friend, God can help us to get rid of the carnal mind. Let me tell you something, friend. Don't feed the carnal mind. Don't feed the sinful mind. Don't feed the mind with sinful things time and time and time again, over and over and over again, and expect it to be pure and clean. God has given us a sound mind. Amen. Be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. God hates the carnal mind. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh, that is, though walking according to the sinful nature, cannot please God. Amen. And so God has given us a sound mind. Let's move on here to righteous fear. There is a fear that was here that needs to be, is somewhat good, is good for us, really. And that is a fear of falling back into sin after God has saved us. I've seen so many people turn and lose their walk with God and turn away from God. Sometimes after a short time, and sometimes after years of serving God, to turn back. My friend, there is nothing to turn back to. What, are we going to turn back to death and hell? No, let's turn back to God. Man, let's. You don't have to be filled with this fear. All you got to do is make the choice not to go back. In the book of Hebrews, some were very tempted to go back because of the persecution of the day. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." In other words, there's not going to be God coming again and make another payment for sin. He made one payment. That's with his life. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which devours the adversaries. And so we know that here that God is not saying after you've sinned once, if you sin once after you've been saved, you can't be forgiven. He's not saying that at all. There is forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it says in the Old Testament, it says anyone who rejected Moses' law dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you read your Old Testament, you'll find that there was a death penalty for nearly everything. A lot of people died in that 40 years of journeying in the wilderness because there were no prisons. Amen. They executed judgment immediately. But it says here in relation to that of how much, we're still in Hebrews, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Those are strong charges. If a person turns back away from God and counts the blood that Jesus shed for their sins wasn't good enough, or insulted the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, there's punishment for that. There's judgment for that. And surely that's a godly fear that we should need not even consider it possible to go back on our faith. But amen. But God saved us. Peter's puts it worse than that. He says it's like the hog. The dog returning to its vomit in the sow that was washed or wallowing in the mud. Amen. And so we want to stay right with God. Freedom from fear, the godly kind of fear, is to say no to sin. Righteous fear. Amen. Hebrews, the 30th verse says, "For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God." You want to be right with God. If you're right with God, yeah, you have a reverence, godly fear, godly respect for him continually. Therefore, you live for God and make the choice to serve God. Amen. But true faith, genuine faith, last of all, brings freedom from fear. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. And you see, verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. We have to have faith in what God said in his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Joshua, in the Old Testament, he had a hard, he had a lot of shoes to fill. Because you see, Joshua was right after Moses. How much fear Joshua must have had have said, I've got to fill the shoes of Moses. You know, God had said of Moses, he says, I speak to prophets and priests through visions and dreams, but he says to Moses, I speak face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I don't know that this said that about any other person in the Bible except Christ. And so Joshua had quite a shoes to fulfill. Moses was dead, and Joshua was supposed to take children of Israel and lead them into Canaan's land, and they were supposed to conquer all their enemies, and they did. But it was because Joshua stayed true to God. And Joshua had a godly fear in his life, not a fear of being scared of God, but yet wanting to do the will of God, of reverence and a fear for God to do exactly what he said. And your faith brings freedom from fear. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and God told Joshua, I want you to read through that law all the time. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may to observe all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's a promise that God made to Joshua, but I believe it's also one that he makes to us. Amen. This book of the law, just don't get away from it. Amen. If you hadn't read it today, it's too late. You need to read it today. Praise God. And so faith brings freedom from fear, faith that God never abandons his people, and God does not. God's love is never insufficient. God's love brings us closer to him. Matter of fact, Paul gives some great words there in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Amen, that we can only apply these promises to us if we are walking in the light and pursuing the things of God. This is not an excuse to get by with ever sin. There's no excuse for that. But Paul says, to the church at Rome and to the church in Quitman, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present. Nothing between life and death, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? If you're walking with Christ, then God takes away the fear of death and hell away. Praise God. Nothing can separate us, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a wonderful promise. If we're walking according to the Spirit, not the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that we have that promise is ours. If you're walking in the flesh and you're trying to get away with sin, forget it. The promise isn't yours. But its promise is yours today if you're trying to live for God, living for him. And so, we have the freedom from fear as we serve the Lord. Praise God. Let me ask you something in conclusion today. Are you overwhelmed with life challenges? Fear of losing someone close to you? Everybody's always in fear of that to a certain degree. Are you in fear of failing God one too many times? Are you in fear of not pleasing somebody else? Many are. But Jesus says, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay your burdens at his feet and be free. Amen.